Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to the A24 Project here on the Nerd Party Network. Every 2 weeks, we review two films from the A24 filmography, and in between, we aim to bring you interviews with the talent involved. 2020 has seen A24 film fans frustrated as we wait for St. Maud and The Green Knight to return to cinemas. But today, via Apple TV, Boys State will drop, the latest film from the A24 Apple TV partnership. Apologies if you expected an episode a few days ago, but with a new A24 film and an interview to market on the same day, hopefully it's worth the wait. Boys State is a documentary that follows 1,000 teenage boys attending Boys State in Texas, coming together to build a representative government from the ground up, from all different political backgrounds, negotiating the challenges of organising political parties, consensus, and campaigning for the highest office at Boys State, governor. To mark its release, I'm joined by the film's directors, Jesse Moss and Amanda McBain, to discuss the making of this documentary that was sold to Apple TV and A24 for $12 million and has provoked exciting debates and reaction about the future of America. Thanks to Jesse and Amanda for joining me, and you can stream Boys State anywhere in the world right now via Apple TV. I hope you enjoy the film and the interview. So I had never heard about the concept of these boys and girls states before. When did you first hear about them and learn about them as this amazing sort of concept?
You know, we didn't go to the program growing up. I hadn't heard about it as a young person. I'm not sure why not, because there is girls state and boys state here in California, where we're both from. I heard about it, I think, briefly when Bill Clinton ran for president, and there was a famous photograph that circulated of him at Boys Nation, which is a part of the program. And he was shaking JFK's hand in the Rose Garden as a teenager. And this was sort of presented as like a feather in Bill Clinton's cap. But I didn't think much of it after that. That was probably 1992. And then we read about Boys State in Texas in 2017. This was, of course, right after Donald Trump had been elected, and we were struggling to understand the political divisions in America. And I think in reading that the boys in Texas had voted to secede from the Union, It struck us as a real kind of provocative but revealing gesture of the mood of the times, but through this really interesting space of Boys State, where they bring young people together who have very different politics. And I think we were intrigued by the idea that there was a real space where people were actually trying to talk to each other, which was not true, it seems. And it seems more so every day we have these intractable divisions, but yet here's this space in Texas. So that was the introduction to the program. When we embarked on the project, that we really didn't know what we were getting into.
When did the idea come around to decide, right, we want to make a film, this is going to be our next subject, will be this Boys State, and you've explained why Texas is the chosen one to kind of go down. Was it always going to be Texas, or was there ever sort of considerations that it could be California, North Dakota? Was it always going to be, let's make a film about sort of this Texas Boys State?
You know, that article struck us. It intrigued us enough to really focus on Texas. But I will also say that sometimes that we've been making films together for a long time, and sometimes you read an article and you're like, oh, that's amazing. And then you kind of sit on it for a little bit. But the thing is, this kept coming back and we kept kind of talking about it. And I think at some point you then decide, okay, well, let's just call them. Let's call the leadership in Texas and see what they have to say. The worst thing they could do is say no, go away. And we thought they might be a little shy given the negative press they've gotten because of that secession vote sort of scandal. But to their credit, they were very open to conversation. And I think that very first moment in me calling from San Francisco, California to deep Texas was sort of the first instance of, wow, this is interesting. This is two very different people talking. Let's see what overlap we have in our mission here. And that was sort of the beginning of, but also Texas is extremely interesting politically in America, because it's kind of on the cusp. It's very purple. It's a purple state. So it's kind of got a deep red contingent and also a changing into blue contingent. So that's interesting too.
was it always the option to go down the boys' route? Because obviously there's a girls' state as well. Was it always more appealing to maybe go down, follow these guys? Or was there ever sort of consideration to examining what's a girls' state like in Texas? Are they less likely to secede than the boys wanted to?
You know, if the girls had seceded that year, we would have been there, you know, in 2018 first. We definitely still want to see what girls' state is about. I don't know whether we would do that in Texas or in another state, but whenever these programs come back in person, in real life, we'll, you know, get back there.
I think we didn't realize to what extent we would have an extraordinary window on masculinity in America amongst teenage boys in this moment. I think we recognize that it was all boys, and that's both unusual and usual. There are segregated spaces for teenagers in athletics and single sex schools here, and as there are there. And so it was both kind of old fashioned, but also not that surprising that it was still segregate or different programs. But it wasn't until we got there that we realized, wow, there's this sort of secondary level of exploration that we can do here beyond the politics, which are fascinating. It's how are these young men expressing themselves? What are they working out? What are the kind of different masculine identities that are in conflict here? And that would become a very, seems evident now that that's what we would find. But I don't think until Amanda and I were kind of thrown into this crazy space of a 1,100 teenagers that we fully confronted the reality of what this prism offered us.
How much did you know about sort of the characters and personalities that would be attending that year? Or was it very much hoping to capture lightning in a bottle? And how do you sort of go around finding those characters really that you uncover in the film? Is it more sort of seeing who would be elected to certain positions and following that? Or was it, oh, this seems like an interesting person here, let's kind of try and follow them?
Well, we were really starting with a blank slate, and we had a potential cast of over 1,000. So that was somewhat overwhelming. And really the only way to begin was to chip away at it. I mean, we knew fundamentally that we wanted to follow a handful of young men through the program because, well, that's what we like to do as storytellers. We're interested in sort of the ground level character driven storytelling. And so finding those handful, we didn't have a set number. We didn't have a set criteria. We knew that political differences were really interesting to us, different backgrounds. Texas, as we've talked about, is a really diverse place, actually. Yet the program skews in a more kind of white and conservative direction. So we had to work hard to really find young men who reflected the diversity of Texas, not so much the program. And so that was really legwork and shoe leather kind of reporting, traveling across Texas to meet kids in their homes and at American Legion halls and school classrooms, and really have conversations with them. And through that process, we quickly recognized that we were interested in young men who were going to run for governor, which is the highest office at Texas Boys State. It's kind of the crown jewel and the highest post and the most dramatic election, and really drives the program through the week. And so here was an engine for the film, this electoral contest, because they really at Boys State focus on the electoral process more than the governing process. Mm-hmm. And so we were fortunate to actually meet three of the four young men in the film before the program started. We met Ben and Steven and Robert, and they were all, they're extraordinary kids. And once we met them, we knew that they were special and they should be in our film. Their charisma, their confidence, their complexity, sort of their X factor of like, I don't know, they kept us really engaged and they surprised us. And so we went in knowing that they were going to be our focus, not knowing how well they would do in the program, not knowing if their paths would cross, but sort of betting the farm on them.
We meet Renee, you meet Renee in the film the way we met him, which is he's the one person we did cast once the event got started, when he stands up and gives that big speech.
The logistics of putting this film together really interests me. When I was watching the film, I was so curious about how you put this all together. I mean, the scope of Boys State is huge. I think you touched on this, like 1,100 kids, you've got the support staff. How do you, as a filmmaking team, capture what's unfolding with something which has seems to have such a huge scope and scale? How do you kind of go around like a day's filming?
Yeah, Good question. This project was new for us, even though we've been making films for a long time. Normally in the Verite filmmaking process, we would have 2 years or more to shoot the film. And normally in the way we do it, Jesse would really be the only shooter, and it would be a very intimate process and sort of a slow burn. And this was more of a wildfire. And I really mean that when I say that. It was, so knowing that, we also have been on fiction film sets, and there's some pieces of this production that felt very similar to that, in the sense that it was a fixed week. We knew a certain narrative would happen. We knew certain set pieces would happen. There's location that we wouldn't be leaving. We had our cast. And then so we built this extraordinary crew, and to our great luck, Torsten Thilo, who's an incredible cinematographer, was available, and Jesse had worked with him many times in the past, and he brought with him other members of his sort of camera collective in New York, who are all extraordinary Verite filmmakers. And so we had six film units, and then once we got everybody there, of course, it's a dance of chaos and control. And I think that we were ready for that challenge. And I think we sort of, you know, I think we captured as much as we possibly, lightning in a bottle, as you say. We also lucked out that we happened to be there at those really important moments where the emotional things happened. Because if you miss those, that's not good for your film.
Do you have a rough idea how much footage you probably captured over that period of time? Would it have been into the thousands of hours?
Not thousands, definitely in the high hundreds. There was a, I mean, you have to allow yourself to follow every thread. If you meet a new character who's interesting, you have to allow yourself to go with that person, as we did with Renee, and just because you don't know. And that means a lot of work, and sometimes some wrong turns and dead ends. But I think, again, from doing this together, you have to allow yourself that freedom. That's really important. And one of the things we did, I think, which is really important, is there's such a wonderful kind of, and very old-fashioned sometimes, pageantry to the program, which we like. I mean, it is a little bit 1950s-ish, but it's also very much an aspect of the program. And I think there's a kind of pure patriotism to it, which looked at from one direction might seem a little stifling, but looked at another direction is actually very positive. And I think Stephen, he appeals to that. So we wanted to capture that dimension. And the way we did that was we had a wonderful friend and cinematographer named Patrick Bresnan, who lives in Austin. And we just kind of empowered him to follow his instincts. And he ended up at the talent show, for instance. And actually, I should add, but he did end up there and captured that wonderful sequence of auditions. And so we wanted to kind of weave in all of this tapestry, in addition to the driving storylines of our four young men. So I think it was quick to shoot. As Amanda says, it was this kind of wildfire. It took a year to edit, and that's not because we didn't know the story. We did. It's just to kind of let go of those scenes that ultimately are not supportive, and to kind of work out the rhythm of the film and everything that I think approximates our emotional experience making the film and put that on screen.
One thing I really like about the film is it focuses very much on those kids, that we don't see much of the adult presence. They're very much off camera. Was that always going to be the focus, to keep it on the kids, or was that something that perhaps was cut out in the edit process?
One of the basic tenets of the program is the idea of learn by doing, and they take it very seriously, at least in Texas. Every boy's state and girl's state is different with every state. But so the counselors really do give the program over to the statesmen, as it were, probably like 4 hours into its day one. And I will tell you that the first couple hours, when the counselors were downloading all the information to the kids, and there was a lot of PowerPoint presentations, and there was like, you know, 30 classrooms full of kids just getting lectured to, I was like, we are not going to be able to make a movie. If this is this whole event, we're in trouble. But then they were true to their word. They just let it go. And wherever it goes, it goes. And as you know,
so the year before, a little bit like the running of the bulls in Pamplona or something. And these, they go charging down the street, and that is kind of wonderful.
There's only one moment where the counselors got, I mean, they are around, as you see, Ben, you know, has a low moment and he seeks advice. I'm not sure that happens very much. And in fact, the counselors, you know, is schooled to like not tell the kid what to do. It's very much a reflect, you know, it's a backboard. And so you'll see, he sort of keeps saying, well, what would you like to do? You know, that kind of thing. And they have a phrase, this is your boy's state. And they are very true to that. So we didn't cut out the counselors. They really just are very much in the background.
Mm-hmm. Great. It's interesting, the film for me challenged the preconception. And I think it's often brought up in the UK and the US as well, that the children are the future of liberal values. And I think that film kind of shines that light on that. Not every young child thinks, you know, is not the future AOC, for example, that there are people that believe in gun rights and abortion that are those kind of younger kids. Was it that something that surprised you as well? Or was that something that you were kind of hoping to reflect, as you say, sort of Texas is this purple state, and you can almost probably hear some of those kids when they're talking going, I bet they've picked that up from their parents or something like that.
I think it really reflects the complexity, the political complexity of our country. It's true to the diversity of viewpoints that I think Texas offers. And I think what's notable in political documentary particularly is that often if you're making a film about a candidate, you're just embedded on that one side of the campaign and you only see that one point of view. For example, AOC's campaign, you see her debate her opponent, but you, just by virtue of the access, you don't get to film the opposition. And I think the attraction of the Boy State program for us as filmmakers is that we could film with young men whose politics were conservative, very different than our politics. I mean, I think our sympathies politically are with Stephen and Renee. They were the kind of emotional North Star for us in going through this experience. And as you see, very much the minority in this conservative group. But the very fact that it was predominantly conservative was interesting to us, because I think that that's a harder space to access for documentary filmmakers. And I think a necessary space for us to engage with and to look at, because our politics are, as you know, pretty evenly divided on it. And as are, I mean, yours, I can't speak quite accurately to the ratios, but you know, there are a lot of political differences in our countries, and understanding the conservative viewpoint from a kind of a human perspective is what the program is about. Different viewpoints from a human perspective, and for us as filmmakers too, to give Ben and Robert, who are more, I'd say, right of center, a fully sort of felt dimension as subjects was really important to us. And I think that's to deny ourselves and the audience the opportunity to really sit with those people would have been to shortchange all of us.
The film obviously had its kind of premiere early in the year at Sundance. It's recently had some screenings in America. It's now come here to the UK. And then from Friday, it's going to spread around kind of the world. What sort of interesting kind of reactions have you had from people within sort of America now as it goes out into the world with how they meet this film? Because I found it quite interesting, this the huge debate about secession sort of from Texas. And here in Scotland, that's a debate that happens a lot about separating from the United Kingdom. And it's got a very different kind of political stance. It's considered a very left-wing approach here. How do kind of people meet your film and meet the characters as all around America and kind of abroad now?
I think that this film, none of the films we make really have a very, there's not one takeaway. And I think that that's important to me, actually, in the stories that I like to put together. I really do think you, as an audience, bring a certain amount of, you project a certain amount onto any piece of art, frankly. And I appreciate kind of any reaction to our movie, as long as there is a reaction to our movie. I do think it's a little bit of a Rorschach test in the sense of how, where you are on the cynical hope kind of spectrum in terms of where we are with American politics. And so for me, my personal takeaway from watching this event the week we were shooting it and then putting this film together was actually an enormous amount of hope. As much, I mean, that, and that does not deny the scary, scary stuff that I saw, or the machismo, or the sort of toxic masculinity, or the, you know, there's plenty to be fearful of, as usual, right? That's not new. But it was more in my face. And I think, but for me, the great surprise was watching Renee and Steven navigate that space. I knew they could do it because they're sort of incredible. But then to watch this group really rise up and follow them, I mean, they really did rise to power. And I thought that was a great surprise, because that sort of need and appetite for that kind of leadership, at least in Steven's sense, the sort of serve others, not yourselves, the sort of aspire to something that unifies, the kind of bridge making, that people are hungry. That's not a right or left thing. People are hungry for that. And that to me was my takeaway. But again, whatever the takeaway, as long as you like feel like
something. I don't think that's also not an American political issue or question. I mean, that what Stephen provokes in us, a reflection on, and Robert for that matter too, sort of political integrity and what leadership, political or electoral leadership should offer, which as Stephen says, to serve others and not themselves. I mean, I think that certainly causes us to reflect on who's in the Oval Office now and the selfishness we see there. But I think that extends beyond our national borders. And as we think about in representative democracy, who we select to represent us and what qualities they offer and what, you know, that quality of empathy and integrity that Stephen presents, as opposed to a politics of kind of brute strength of aggression, which we see embodied in a way with Ben. And I think even Ben now has acknowledged the corrosive effect of a kind of win at all cost politics. And so I'd like to think that as much as it's a real fascinating microcosm of American politics, it really is, I think, transcendent.
Absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see as it goes now out into the world, what someone in Russia, Australia, Azerbaijan can access your film at the click of a button.
Fascinating. Can't wait to see the Twitter from Azerbaijan. Yeah. if I can read it.
It's interesting as well that you touched on it there, Amanda, the hope and fear, that I saw things that made me scared when, you know, when people would talk about kind of guns and women's rights. And you can also imagine on the other side, people might be scared by even what kind of Renee and Steve are kind of speaking about. That hope and fear is such an interesting thing to watch, because it seems like you, as a viewer, you go through this roller coaster of that hope and fear nonstop as you're exposed to these characters, you're hearing their views, who rises to power, who kind of comes short. It's interesting when you're sitting there, when it's been shown in kind of cinemas, to see kind of how people kind of react in those discussions afterwards about what makes them scared and excited for the future, and how they can make sure that they're perhaps on the winning side if this is to be a microcosm of the future as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the great joys of this film for me beyond filming it is now our you know, we're still hanging out with these four guys, and to watch Ben's journey after the fact, reflecting not only in his time at Boys State, but now reflecting on the film that captured his time at Boys State, has been, I think that's been one of the deepest things for me, frankly, is because he speaks so well to this. I wish he were here to say this himself, but you know, the short of it is he's 2 years older, plus he has the privilege of sort of seeing this version of him, not a version, he's seen now the other side, which he couldn't see when he was in it, in that kind of win at all cost way. And then he also sees our country being 2 years older into this divided, hyper-polarized space. And I think he just talks so beautifully about, you know, democracy is fragile. And you may win the election with all of those dirty tricks, but then you have the country that's where, you know, more broken. And what do you do then? And I think the way he talks about that, just at this point, there's no space. I mean, he really is very powerfully moved, I guess, and changed by this experience. And that's partly the program, and that's also partly him.
I think, you know, in a great way, the film is an extension of what the program embodies in creating a space to bring still Ben and Stephen and Robert and Renee together to further this conversation. You know, their politics are shifting in surprising ways sometimes, but really, and what was appealing about them to begin with is that they were still kind of in formation. I remember asking Ben when we cast him, what's an issue you've changed your mind on? And to understand that they were still kind of figuring it out, which they still are. And I love that, you know, the documentary, a film goes through so many versions of itself and in its life. And now this phase of this film has been a really enriching one to kind of see how they're changing as young men and kind of reflecting on both what the film is about and who they are.
That must be special for you. We get to spend nearly 2 hours with these people. You've spent several years with them, watching them kind of grow. Is there ever a temptation in your mind to go, it's Boy State 2.0, sort of a special,
folks yeah.
Things have changed and so on?
We think about the Michael Apted 7-Up version of this film, or the Richard Linklater Boyhood version. I think that would be a kind of wonderful thing. I think a 7-year break sounds about like the right amount of time to be ready to go back and do it again, because we're still kind of getting over the intensity of the experience of making the film. But I love that idea.
But all of them endlessly fascinate me. I mean, they're just sort of the right, you know, you've found your people when you just never get sick mm-hmm. of them ever. So
I love these guys. Yeah.
I think Richard Linklater as a Texan would be very much up for supporting that idea of sort of following these Texans over a period of time. I think you've got a good idea there. Obviously, your film got picked up for a record kind of number for a documentary. Did that sort of give you that huge kind of vote of confidence that you had created something so special here and that it was going to be something that people would want to get out into the world?
I think it's really validating to have a partner like Apple and A24, who are companies that we really admire, and their belief in the film, which is not a film with movie stars. It's a documentary. It's an unscripted film. I think it's a real testament to our moment and what the film embodies in its conversation. And I like that they've embraced a film that, as we've talked about, it doesn't wrap itself up in a tidy bow at the end. It really provokes conversation. That's great. But I've been reflecting this week, just because we're coming out on Friday, just how many people have helped us along the way. And, you know, it's easy for us to kind of sit here and take credit for all of this work, but really, it's we're like a series of small tributaries that have kind of joined up and become this kind of big river of a movie. And from the beginning, from our DP, who went to Texas with us when we had no money, to Concordia Studio, which came on in a great way to finance the film without distribution in place, and to support it in a big way, which is really exciting. And they were a great creative partner. The Camera Collective, which Amanda mentioned, this team of cinematographers who are all brilliant artists unto themselves. Just so many people. I mean, documentary is a kind of, we love it because it's an intimate craft, but to make a film, to make an impact, really you need so many partners and stakeholders. And I think of documentary as like an act of levitation, and really it defies physics. And I think to have so many people sort of come together like Abby Hoffman and try to levitate the Pentagon, which he tried to do, it's like this communal act of levitation is really a reflection of so many people. And to have Apple is, you know, very, we couldn't ask for a better partner.
It's exciting as well that you've joined sort of this pantheon of A24 films. You're alongside things like Moonlight, Lady Bird, Uncut Gems, The Lighthouse, so many coming of age stories. I mean, you look at your film, it's only sort of their second documentary out of nearly 100 films alongside an Amy Winehouse documentary. How does it feel to sort of fit into that sort of film lineage of coming of age stories and sort of great cinema?
I mean, it's, I still kind of can't believe it, honestly. I mean, it's a dream come true. Their track record is extraordinary. So all those films are so inspiring and so authored and so just gorgeous and different from one another. I think that, you know, a company that has a sensibility that has that much range, but is always right. It's very cool. Our computer's gonna die.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they're so great too. And not just, you know, we're in a challenging moment theatrically, but they are such a great partner in helping position the film and bring on other partners to bring the film into classrooms and into conversation, you know, which is not just putting it up on the platform with Apple, but also, you know, it's, I mean, they're really great at sort of taking a good film, a great film, and leveraging it out into the world. And I don't know what, you know, they have a kind of mysterious bag of tricks, and we really kind of let them do what they're great at. And so that's been amazing. It is intimidating to be amongst a roster of films that have been the greatest films we've seen of the last, you know, decade for sure. But, and so we have big shoes to fill.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure talking with you, and I wish you all the best with the film. I'm sure people will be watching on all their phones, TVs, everything from Friday. I loved it as a political film geek. It was right up my street. So all the best going forward, and take care.
Thanks, Lee. We appreciate it.